Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here, and welcome to the Curtain Call Podcast. Curtain Call is the podcast that takes you deep behind the scenes of the theater world, bringing you in-depth conversations with the story makers that are shaping the future of theater. We pull back the curtain to reveal the stories behind the stories and give you a glimpse into the backstage world like, well, really no other podcast does. This week, I'm chatting with some of the cast and creative team behind the premiere of Eric Henry Sanders' play, Maybe Probably, a play about two couples as they navigate the hilarious waters of preparing to have a baby or, you know, having recently had one. Now, we are all either the product of this process or have gone through it ourselves, so I know you can relate. Sanders isn't new to London and UK theatre, with his work being seen, yeah, here in London and the Edinburgh Fringe. And he's also worked with Maybe Probably's director, Lydia Parker, and it turns out that one of the cast members, too, coincidentally cast in Sanders' first play. I won't tell you how long ago, because it would be unfair to both playwright and cast member, who is a friend of mine. Full disclosure, I sat down with Sanders and Parker, as well as cast members Christy Meyer, Maria Teresa Creasy, and Lance Fuller. They spoke of the joys of returning to the theater, and especially in a comedy, and also the process of discovering just what they could bring to the production from their personal experiences. Have a listen.
Hello, I am Lydia Parker, and I am directing Maybe Probably.
I am Eric Henry Sanders, and I'm the playwright of Maybe Probably.
I'm Christy Meyer, and I'm playing Kate.
My name's Lance Fuller, and I play Hugh.
My name is Maria Teresa Creasy, and I play Zoe.
Tell me, how did we get here? how did we get here? Where are we? Where does Maybe Probably? Because I've read a little bit from the website. It's had a bit of a journey. Yeah. It's won some awards, always good, yeah. You know, competitions and things. How have we, if I can direct the questions to you, Beth?
Yeah, so Eric and I met back in, I think it was 2014, when I produced Obama America, which was a festival of short American plays at Theatre 503. And Eric had sent in his play, Bong Hits for Jesus, which was this brilliant short play.
Amazing.
And I didn't direct that one, but we stayed in touch. And he kept saying, you know, oh, I'd really like to play on in London. And we were torn between this and Reservoir, which I directed a reading of, I can't remember what year, but Christy was in that. And I said, you know, gosh, I love Reservoir, but it's so depressing. I really want to do a comedy. So we decided on Maybe Probably. And we've been talking about it for a long time. But then, of course, pandemic hit.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So there was a bit of a delay. And then, you know, we thought, you know what? This is the year to do it. So here we are.
Yeah. And coming out of the pandemic seems like doing a comedy, sort of heartfelt comedy about renewal and birth and all these things just seemed really appropriate. So,
yeah.
And was it strictly, had you thought about London as a place, as a city for it to come to? I mean, it's you've had a couple plays here now. Is it a place that you, a destination that you think your plays sit well with, Eric?
Absolutely. I mean, I live in Western Massachusetts, but generally, my background is in Chicago, but being from New York and having work done in New York and working with Lydia here, among others, in London has been just absolutely perfect. And so it's, you know, two great theater towns, New York and London. And so hopefully this is the right spot for it, and maybe we can even bring it back there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you guys, just jump in. We don't have to go around in a circle. It's not a meeting, as it were. Just how did you get involved? Was it Lydia reaching out, or did you hear about it? Was it casting, or?
Straight offer for me.
Nice. What? Nice. Yeah. You and I will talk later.
I think I auditioned about 15 years ago when I did Eric's first play. I did Eric's first play called Where's Annie at the Hudson Stage Company.
Oh, wow.
And I knew him there, and we kind of reconnected when we did a reading that Lydia's already mentioned.
And that was actually hilarious because Lydia cast Christy in that reading without knowing that we had this connection. And so, and in fact, I don't think I even really knew that, like, I saw your name, but it didn't really register until I saw you in person.
Not until you came up.
Such a weird small world.
It's crazy.
It's
crazy.
It's so great. So, yeah. So, so we did a reading, you know, we read through a couple years ago before the pandemic, and then the pandemic hit, and then...
All right. Did all of you do that reading, or did...
We both did. Christy and I both did.
What, divorce? We're just not, like, up to it.
Were we both pregnant at the time, as well?
We were both pregnant at the time.
With our second.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We were both pregnant.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So I've worked with Maria before on Our American Cousin at the Fimbra, and Christy I'd worked with on the reading, Ross's reading. Yeah. But I mean, I had Christy in mind right from the start as Kate. I just thought she is Kate. She has to play this. And, you know, and after Maria did our little reading, you know, just in a studio, I was like, oh my God, yes. Maria.
So I did audition.
Is Zoe.
That's
is
cool.
Is Zoe, but it's really lovely to work with actors I've worked with before.
Yeah.
We just kind of understand each other.
And Lance, I've seen you around. I don't know how much we've worked together, but you know, I've seen you on the circuit here as well. Like,
yeah.
You know, have you worked with Lydia before? Or?
We did a reading of, like, she directed the, you know, American Actors UK, right? We think 2014 or maybe even earlier there was the play festival, and I was in a show she directed then, and then when she would mention this show, I looked at who was already in it.
Oh, right.
And I was like, those are all people I know and I want to work with.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. I was going, yes, because I know Christy, but we've never met in person. We knew of each other
mm.
but had never met in person.
Mm.
Corey and I did one day on set together in 2016 for Conjuring 2.
Okay.
And so I remembered him. I'm not sure he remembered me, but you know, whatever. But it's fun because you're like, hey, we actually did meet each other once before, but...
Yeah.
So it was a really big draw before I'd even read the play to be like, yeah, totally. I want to work with all these people. And
that's great.
And then
sounds
once you read the play,
fit.
You totally fell in love
it
with
it. Absolutely.
Well, that was, I could see Lance was going there.
Yeah.
The next thing.
But that's it. Once you're like, sure, send me the play. And I read it that day and went, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because it's just, you know, when you read something and go, ha, you know, because it's easy. It's easier to laugh when there's other people doing stuff.
Mm.
And sometimes when you're reading it yourself, it's harder to have the joke land. But I was laughing. So I was like, yeah, I totally want to do this.
But I think this is one of those rare plays where the dialogue jumps off the page at you. It's just a beautifully written script. And I mean...
And anyone with a family or having had kids is going to immediately just be so familiar with the situations and the horror and the hilarity and the enormous change of going from being kidless, childless to what that introduces to your life.
Anyone who's like around people who are in that world, because you know the like the hurricane that is people with young children, and you're like, whoa, thank God it's not me. And then it's you kind of.
It's very cool. I mean, I'm just gonna put it out there. We're gonna feel like we're on the other side of that, which is amazing. But but also, you know, we have a 14-year-old. He's not gonna listen to this. It doesn't matter. I mean, he can be a nightmare. he's a great kid, but Sammy, if you are listening to this, buck up. No,
Sammy's real name.
I know Sammy's real name. So we're getting a hint of what maybe probably is about. I should ask the playwright to give me a kind of a synopsis.
Oh God, I haven't done the elevator pitch in a while.
It doesn't need to be the elevator. You can fumble around it. I'm sure we'll get the gist.
It's the story is about a couple. In 10 scenes representing the 10 months leading up to the birth of their first child. So each scene, as we progress from not being pregnant and yet not even really wanting children, it progresses all the way to the moment before they're about to give birth. So, but it's a comedy, and then there's this secondary couple, and they have a toddler, which off stage, because having them on stages would be a nightmare, and they are experiencing both the joys of parenthood, if we can put it that way, with the toddler, and also they're coming to their own decisions about having a second child.
Okay. Are we all parents here?
Yes. So part of the funny thing,
not Lance,
but
Lance has got the smuggest smile.
I know.
He's always the most well-rested.
He's well-rested.
That gets commented on often.
He knew his lines before anybody else. I was like, you have too much time on your hands.
There's a natural joy in his
face. Yeah. He's not worn down.
His clothes are new.
Clean.
Corey's a dad.
Right.
He's a dad, and actually my daughter Sabrina used to babysit for his kids, which is a funny thing because he's kind of a neighbor of mine. But it is that thing where we'll be in rehearsal going, you know, what was your labor like? Oh my God, mine was like this, you know, and then go, oh, what was your pregnancy like? Comparing notes, you know, and then Eric, now that he's here, saying, well, you know, for my wife, it was like this, and Corey saying, no, ours was like this. So lots of experiences, which it brings it all back. But also, you know, when I read the play, well, for me, I'm from New York. Both my daughters were born in Brooklyn. This takes place in Park Slope, Brooklyn, which was down the road. And it's like, wait a minute, that was me. I mean, it wasn't later in life. I have my kids much younger, but it's still, you know, it kind of brings back these memories of everything that you go through. And it was just so real for me, but also all the humor is very real too. And that's what I love about the play. It's a comedy. It's not slapstick, it's not farce. It comes from a very, very real place of the fears that you go through.
Yeah, especially when you've waited mm-hmm. almost four decades to have a child and your life is pretty set and you're pretty set in your ways, you know, but then that hour approaches of the eggs, you know, yeah. getting a bit old, and you kind of go, well, this is our last shot. Should we do it? Should we take that leap of faith? So I think it is resonant for a lot of women that wait these days to have a child. Yeah.
I was gonna say, in that moment too, I think women sort of, like, the clock is ticking. Yeah. And maybe the clock has ticked.
Has talked?
That's a different podcast.
I know. I'm very, very good.
Yeah, that's a very good podcast. But, you know, like, that I think that women universally, whether or not they decide to have children, do have that moment. I think I have friends who've been like that, where they think, do I want to, do I not? And then they choose not to. But there is something, like, chemical. There's something hormonal in a woman that you sort of, whether or not you choose to, something kicks in if you haven't done it. And I think it's quite common now for women to wait, because you're thinking careers, you're thinking like, what's, you know, what's going to happen? And then that thing happens where you're like, maybe.
And what I love about the play is, and I've done development work on this play in a number of places at the Goodman Theater and Florida Repertory Theater and in New York at the New Group and a bunch of other places. And what I love about it, and first of all, I absolutely adore this cast. I love the people I'm working with. It's the exact right place to premiere it. And what's been wonderful about seeing audiences respond to it and seeing people develop it together is that it always brings up this kind of connection to to their own experiences, their own connection to humanity in sort of a bigger, broader sense. And so there's all the humor of it, but there's this deep, you know, kind of connection of what it means to be human, and whether you're thinking about your own parents and what they were going through when you were born, or whether you're going through the experience of being a new parent or having kids who are older, it's always this just sort of joyous thing of, like, joyous and honestly, like, nerve-wracking.
Terrifying.
Terrifying, that's a good way to put it.
The complexities of that, of just being a human.
Now we're going to take a tiny little break for a word from our sponsors. Be right back.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com.
Hey everyone, this is Salisha Thomas from Black Hair and the Big Leagues, part of the Broadway Podcast Network. Welcome back to the Curtain Call Podcast.
Lance, are we making you feel like you should have babies? You should be a dad. Like, we're talking about being...
No.
Yeah. I mean, just in all honesty, as someone who doesn't have your own family with kids, when you're bringing something completely different to the piece, because it feels like, you know, there is everyone else in the cast and creative team do have the family coming from a different angle. Is it fun to play, you know, bringing something, a different energy in? Or?
It is. I mean, it's the interesting thing is, like, to be perfectly honest, we're coming at it from, I'm coming at it from the perspective of, it's not that we didn't try.
Right.
So, so some of the stuff we talk about is actually like, I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's whether or not at one point you decide to play it as someone who's like, no, we just never did it.
Yeah.
Or you're as someone who's like, I understand the struggles to get to that point.
Yeah.
And then, so you bring a lot of that.
Yeah.
Right. And this is an argument we've had, or not an argument. It's a discussion we've had, which is the character is very like seemingly chill, but I'm like, I think some of that comes from the struggle to get to where they got to.
Yeah. I think you were talking about, Eric, I think it's that childhood, parenthood, you know, we all know people who have gone through, especially at our ages, that who have had a struggle or who have had children or whatever. So I think as a relative, as something that a play that someone can relate to, I think this is pretty spot on.
I think it's one of the nicest comments I had from an audience member. It was at the Florida Repertory. We had a big reading of it with about 250 people in the audience, and this woman stood up who was probably in her early 20s, and she said, I wasn't expecting to love this play because it wasn't a subject that I was particularly interested in. I'm not interested in having children at this stage of my life. Don't know if I ever will be, but the way that, you know, but the humor and the way it was constructed and all of that, and the connection, and I think she began thinking about her own parents and their struggles. So it brought all of that together in a way that's just, so I was just so joyous about that comment, because it seemed like it was meant to say it's relatable to a wider audience, not just parents.
On a completely different, still related, on a different tack, I mean, we're still coming out of what you were talking about, you know, about this pandemic thing, and, you know, the big plays have all opened. They're back up and running, but the smaller theaters are still just beginning to kind of get back. Mm. How important is it to put on something that is funny, to get people back in? And you know, the second part of that question is, you know, why should people come and see, maybe, probably?
Wow. I mean, I think, you know, not just for the laughs. I mean, I have to say, when I tell my friends and I'm like, it's a comedy this time, and the look of relief on their faces, you know. But also, I mean, I think it's more than that. This is very heartfelt. It's about, like Eric keeps saying, it's a love story. It's about a love story about a couple who decide to have a baby. And a lot of their worry is this going to change who we are? You know, and I think that's a major part of this story. It's funny, but it's also, there's so much more underneath it for me.
And I think just coming out of a period of isolation, I'm so thrilled to be back in the theater. I think that's the major thing, like, and getting to work with actors in person again. It's just like, I couldn't ask for anything more.
I mean, it got really dark there for a while. It's kind of nice to laugh a little bit. It's just kind of nice to have a little relief from that. You know.
And thanks, Zoom. You did what we needed for a little while. But
yes.
No.
Yes.
And Lydia's also commented throughout the process that the Fringe venue is actually the perfect location for this play, because most of the scenes are two-person scenes. It's a slice of life, you know, of every month of their pregnancy, and it just feels like an intimate. An intimate space will help it, you know.
Yeah, it's
help,
the old red line.
Help you
theater,
just,
isn't it?
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
A per, that's
just
a
help you kind of
intimate.
Eavesdrop
yeah.
on their life. Yeah. I think it would suit any theater, but it is especially like in big theaters as well. But I do think you'll have a particular intimacy that you might not get at a larger theater.
Yeah,
being a fly on the wall almost.
Yeah,
in that space. Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. We're peeking into their lives. What it feels like to me. I mean, I always talk about, I love immersive theater, but this is really immersive because the audience is right on top of the actors.
You're in the room. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Going through every emotion, you know, every expression on their face, the audience can see because they are right there. And that's what makes it so special, you know, in such an intimate, small space.
But it would transfer to a big theater very well.
Exactly. Any West
with minimum rates of at least.
Okay.
We'll make it work.
Final question. I always ask this as a final question. What would you like people to go away with when they come and see? Maybe probably. What would you like them to leave the theater with?
A smile.
Yeah, I think they'll leave with a smile and feeling really joyous, and I think that they will tell other people about it. I think that it's the kind of play where you want other people to experience the thing that you've just gone through.
Anything to add to that, guys?
Well put. I keep thinking too that it was always like, I think we talk about it like a comedy and generally call it that, but like that never, like that doesn't work unless there are moments that are really hard or the moments that contrast. And it talks about it in the play, right? The contrast of difficulty in life with joy in life is what makes the joy even greater.
Yeah.
So there's some really tough moments and a lot of funny moments around those because just we laugh at people freaking out about stuff. Yeah. That's just always funny to us. But that's, so yeah, I think they have to go away going, yeah, that was funny and really got to me as well.
Yeah. And ultimately a sense of hope, I think, that, you know, that we don't always walk out of the theater with.
I've been in those kind of plays.
But that the story's uplifting ultimately. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And you can, I think, walk away a little bit on a cloud with that.
Cool.
Yeah, I was going to say warm and fuzzy feeling, but warm, I feel like fuzzy. That is much more eloquent. So yeah.
Well, warm and fuzzy is the elevator pitch version of what you'd like to do. And it wasn't my final question. Where can we see it?
We are at the Old Red Lion Theatre, which is near Angel Tube. It's on the 20th of September to the 15th of October. And I have to add, we have two parent and baby matinees.
Nice.
Thursdays, the 6th and 13th of October at 2 p.m. And we really want to encourage parents to come in who have babies and can't usually get to the theater. Please come and see this play because it's your life. And you don't get to see that very often on stage.
I think that's going to be, I'm going to come to both of those matinees and encourage my worst children I know to come and just tantrum it up. Tantrum it off.
There's your baby.
Thank you, listen, guys. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
See you on there on the stage. See you in the Old Red Lion Theater.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Playwright Eric Henry Sanders, director Lydia Parker, and cast members Christy Meyer, Lance Fuller, and Maria Teresa Creasy. Unfortunately, Corey English had to leave before we started recording, so he wasn't there, but he was missed. Thank you for listening, but before we go, just a quick reminder to say that if you like this episode, or indeed any of our episodes of the Curtain Call podcast, please go to whichever streaming platform you use and leave a rating and review. It really does help, and it helps others like you find the podcast. If you want to reach out to me, you can find me on all the socials at John Schwab, JohnSchwab. And lastly, I'd like to just give a big thank you to the entire team of Maybe Probably, which opens on the 20th of September, 2022, and runs through the 15th of October at London's Old Red Lion Theatre. Grab your tickets at oldredliontheatre.co.uk. Thank you for listening. Speak to you soon and stay safe. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com. And of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.